Now commencing.
This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Mike Hill.
I don't understand the devaluation of the running back position.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Vikings, in my mind, are not a better team the minute they released Dalvin Cook. And in the NFC North, guess who's up? Hey, Detroit Lions.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for The Athletic, Joe Vardon. Author TJ Newman. Coming up, Fox Sports NBA analyst Jim Jackson. Actor and comedian Guy Tori. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Mike Hill.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, Mike Hill filling in for the great, phenomenal, the incomparable Rich Eisen. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Granger. Can I get one of these desks?
Sure.
It's a really nice, solid desk right here, too. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Granger has the right product for you. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Jim Jackson coming up momentarily on the show to talk NBA Finals. Hanging out, my man Chris Brodman, Jason Feller here. Of course, my man TJ over there.
What up,
though? Yeah, TJ. TJ.
Yo.
TJ was accusing me of black-on-black crime. I thought the brother was going to come in here and we was going to be able to chop it up. You know what I'm saying? Thought we was going to bond together. And I'm disappointed, Mike. You trying to shame me about first class. Yo, man.
Coming to fruition on Roku.
Like, what's this, light-skinned? Light skinned brothers, man. Yeah, what's one of the Jenner girls?
Kendall.
Kendall, did you see the shirt that
Kim was wearing? The shirt with her starting five on it.
She got a tight.
By the way, her starting five could win a series.
Oh yeah, they could. All them brothers in the NBA, all them light skinned brothers too, man. We winning. Steph Curry, we winning. Let me welcome in a winner, my man, a good friend of mine. I've been knowing this cat for about 15 years now. One of the funniest guys in the business, actor, comedian. He is now a producer, big-time producer on
Filmmaker. One
of the best documentaries on Amazon right now, Fat Tuesday. Guy Tori in the house. What's up, Guy?
Man? What's
good to see
on?
You, man.
Excuse my hat. I didn't have a chance to get a haircut before I came to the show. and my hairline is kind of like yours, Mike. We got that free safety airline. It's backing up. and only covering certain areas. So, excuse the hat.
It's called Beijing. It's important for the brothers.
No, I ain't doing the Beijing.
You don't do the Beijing?
No, I ain't doing the Beijing. I'm just going, you know, God.
Because it would just blend in with your skin color.
God is my barber now.
God is your barber?
Yeah, God is my barber now. I'm just going to have to fall out with my follicles and just tough it out.
It's important in our community to go get a fresh haircut
every
week.
Yes, it is. It makes you feel better.
Does it make your skin feel clearer?
It does. Even though it's just clear. Haircut, it helps your self-esteem, man.
It does.
Right. So right now, I'm really low right now.
Well, you just got off the plane. You just came in from Oakland?
Literally right across the street. Came in from Oakland. I was in Oakland, California last night. I left just like all the teams are leaving. But I love Oakland. But no, my good friend Lunell, very funny comedian, shot her comedy special last night. She's from Oakland. Dave Chappelle produced it, and I had to go support her. Every time I've called on her, she's come to my projects, my documentary, everything. So I had to fly in, surprise her, pull up on her, and just support her.
Heavy hitters, man. You didn't get on stage last night?
No, man. Tony Rock killed it last night, you know, opening the show for her. And Lunell, she's a queen. No, I was just a fan last night.
You know,
and Gary Payton.
What? Oh, you saw GP?
GP was there last night.
What's GP up to now?
Man, we're working on a project together, man. But he was coaching, and, you know, the big three is starting up again. So he's getting ready for the big three.
Cute.
Yeah. So, yeah.
One thing I love about you, man, is like you're unfiltered. You are unfiltered. You will say what's on your mind, no matter who's there. You will talk about people's mamas, and you know.
Dead
but I think you really came into fame. I think was it at the Shaq roast,
man,
or Emmitt Smith's roast?
It was the Shaq All Star Comedy Roast, honoring Emmitt Smith.
Okay, featuring honoring Emmitt Smith, and you go in on everybody.
It's ironic that you bring that up, because just right before I went to Oakland, they're doing a documentary on that roast.
Really?
That's how iconic that roast was and still is that they're doing a documentary on it with Jamie Foxx, Doug Williams segment was just like Hall of Fame. If there was a Hall of Fame or a GOAT of roast moments, Jamie Foxx, Doug Williams, not the football player Doug Williams, comedian Doug Williams, moment was the best.
Doug Williams doesn't want to remember that. Doug Williams was like, that was like Kwame and Biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Biggie said something about the polka dots.
Yeah. And Kwame was in a club with women around him, and they put on a Biggie song, and Biggie had a lyric saying, you played out like Kwame's polka dots. And I heard the women left his side real quick.
And that's what Jamie Foxx kind of did with Doug Williams that night. That
was the funniest roast moment in the history of roast.
So when you're on stage and you're in the city and you see an NBA player or NFL player or whatnot, and you start going in, has anyone ever gotten upset with you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Shaq roast. I mean, now I've spoken with him and we're cool, but Jason Kidd, you know, when the Lakers beat the Nets in the series, doing that roast, I talked about Jason Kidd's son, who I met.
Oh, he's grown
ago.
Now.
Yeah, he's grown. Yeah. He grew into that head. Because he looks like Mr. Stay Puft now from Ghostbusters. I met him, and it's all good. It's all clicked. I was scared of Jason for years, running from him.
Really?
Because I thought he wanted to, you know.
You heard that he was looking for you?
I heard at Shaq's wedding when he got married one of the times. like you, Mike. he said that Jason wasn't too happy about me talking about a different TJ. Mm-hmm. and I was scared.
But
I FaceTimed with him, during the end of the season, last season, everything is all good.
All good now. Yeah. All good now. Big Lakers fan?
Huge.
How long did it take you to get past the Western Conference Finals?
Well, you know what's funny is that in the first half of the season, I kind of didn't have expectations. I'm a big Ham fan, the coach of the Lakers, and but we just weren't winning. Mm. But then Pelinka, went in his bag of tricks and some magic dust up, and then we got in the playoffs and we went further. But I kind of had no expectations because it's still new. Players gelling and everything. So it was good that we got as deep as we got. It is what it is. But I can't wait to see next year's team.
Is LeBron going to be on the team?
Oh, yeah, he'd be there. LeBron ain't going.
So you don't feel like the whole retirement talk is just him talking?
No, it's in the moment. Prison moment. So he's going to be back.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to be back. We're going to have some. We got to get some new players in there, a few new pieces.
What do they need?
Woo! Well, you know what's surprising is? Because I love Schroeder, as the point guard. And, Chris Paul is out there. I would love to see Chris Paul get a ring.
So you want Chris Paul, and I love Chris Paul, don't get me wrong, because he playoff Chris Paul doesn't stay healthy.
But you know what? But
LeBron is breaking down a little bit, and Anthony Davis is a game-time decision before the game starts.
AD stands for any day he may not play.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But no, I think a few more pieces, man. I think Ham is a great coach, man. I think we're going to be all right.
All right. And you're also a huge St. Louis Cardinals fan, too, from St. Louis.
Fan, period.
And you're going to England?
London. This year, last year.
Well, London's in England.
But I want to make it,
Okay.
Last year, the Red Sox and the Yankees played in London. Mm-hmm. This year, it's the Cardinals and the Cubs. So I said, you know what? I've never been to London. I'm going to go check out my squad. So I'm going, my sister and I, we're going over to London.
So you're going over there for the game?
Just for the game. And just so happens, my nephew, shout out to Eric McWoods, plays soccer for Sweden. And that's
you have a professional soccer player in your family?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah. A professional person, period. Nobody else professional. That's what you call stripping a professional. A couple of sisters who are strippers. But,
Zion?
Huh?
Do they know Zion?
That's right. I'm going to have to see if they slipped in his DMs. So I'm going over just for the Cardinals-Cubs game and catch my nephew in the soccer game.
That's awesome, man. That must make you feel really proud, man, to see a guy that's a professional.
Man, I watched this kid go from a young age, man, through high school, through college, and now playing professionally.
Is this
the
same kid that I met when I came to L.A. that time?
Is, yeah.
When he brought him to the airport when I came over here and I was hanging out with?
I believe so.
This is Joe's son.
No, it's not Joe's son, no.
Oh, it's not Joe's son.
Joe kids aren't athletic at all. this is my sister Roberta's. She's a star. No, Joe is an athletic kid, TJ, but another TJ. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is Eric McWood. This is my sister's son.
And you you actually got an athlete. You and Joe have an athletic background,
right?
Oh,
yeah, man, I was nice. I was nice with it, man. I played football, man.
You played in high school?
In high school. Played against Trent Green in high school.
Oh, really? Yeah. How did that go?
Man.
How would you describe your high school career?
Yo, my high school career was great. The rest of the team was terrible. But I was great. And Trent Green only played three quarters because they was beating us that bad.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So bad that they took us off the schedule the next season. Like, yeah, we're not playing this team.
Yeah, not yet. The JV team. Yeah.
No, we won JV. We were varsity, but we look like a JV team.
What position did you play?
I was running back and receiver.
Running back and receiver.
And defensive back. I played three positions.
Okay. All right. How far do you think you could have gone if you would have had a good team?
Oh, man. I'd have had a ring. I'd have been in college. I'd have had a bowl. I'd have had a ring. But, you know, I picked up a microphone instead. And the rest is history.
Hey, man. And you're a pretty good comedian, man.
Great.
Great comedian.
Goat.
You're one. Okay. Goat.
Because I'm a Capricorn.
Oh, I got it.
A goat's a goat, man.
We always talking about greatest of all time, right? The goats out there. When it comes to, and you've always made a distinction between comedian and comic.
Right.
What's the difference between a comedian
and
a comic?
There's comics and they're comedians, all right? Comic says funny things.
Okay.
A comedian makes things funny.
Okay.
A comedian is someone that you get, they're transparent. They take you on a journey. They tell you they're vulnerable. They tell you their life. They make their life funny.
Okay.
You know, comics, set up punch. You don't know who they are as a person. When you leave the show, you laughed, you had a good time, but who is this person? Comedian, you know who this person is. They take you on a ride. You grow with them. You know exactly where they're coming from.
So who are some great comedians right now? Comedians
that take you on that journey. So many, man.
Is that the Chappelles of the world?
Chappelle, Tony Rock, Chris Rock, Mike Epps. I love DC Young Fly. You know, one of the young guns coming up, Cedric the Entertainer. I mean, the kings of comedy for sure.
Right.
But then there's so many others, man. Cat Williams, I mean, you name it. They are some funny, funny cats. Earthquake,
yeah.
I mean, Joe Torre, my brother, I got to say that because it's in our family contract. Joe Torre. So many funny comedians out there. Lunell, who just beasted it on stage in Oakland for her special. Mm. You know, Marlon Wayans has grown into a great stand-up.
His last stand-up was excellent.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Very well-written, executed. So, yeah, it's so many of the names. I know I'm forgetting some. People are going to be mad. Mark Curry, another Oak Town guy. So, yeah, it was a lot of funny comedians.
Yeah, Cedric the Entertainer from St. Louis, all those guys.
Sir.
Like you said, the whole Kings of Comedy. Is there one comedian that you, not that you'd be afraid to follow anybody.
Right, but you shouldn't be. But, if you think you're one of the best, you shouldn't be afraid to follow anybody.
But is there one person that you have followed, let's say that you have followed, that you're like, I gotta bring. Like, can you remember a show?
Well, the thing about it is, I hadn't had to follow too many of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're the headliners. But I would say when I hosted the Kings of Comedy, I was the first host of the Kings of Comedy tour. Bernie Mac. Mm. I mean, Cedric gave me some struggle too, but Bernie Mac was that dude, man, that just left nothing on stage. He left it all on the stage, but left nothing, no stones unturned. I mean, he set it on fire.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
gone
man.
Too soon, bro. One of my favorite comedians of all time. NBA Finals going on right now. Let's talk a little sports, man. A little bit more sports,
man.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Denver Nuggets, Miami Heat. Nobody expected, this NBA Finals matchup, but we're here now. Game four. What'd you expect tonight?
I thought Miami was win game three.
Okay.
But they didn't. I think they'll win game four.
Why?
I think they're going to figure it out. Coach Spo is a hell of a coach. And, he's going to figure out what they did wrong in game three. And he's going to fix it. And they're going to win game four.
Are you concerned? When I hear Jimmy Butler's talking about the effort, the energy.
Right.
And I heard Michael Malone talk about the energy in game two after game two after the loss. Like, does that surprise you? I'm surprised because it's the NBA Finals, G.
Right.
You know what I mean? The NBA.
You should need motivation.
You should need motivation. Right. The championship is motivation.
Yeah, but any given day. I mean, there's some days as a stand-up, man, I just ain't got it. And you want it, but it's just the universe and the stars are not aligned.
Okay,
it's not your day.
Okay, but if you so for example, you finally you great comedian, right? And you've done it for many years, a goat, one of the goats, but you finally get this. Everybody wants this Netflix special.
Right.
Right?
Right. It's not just Netflix. There's a lot of streaming platforms.
Oh, Amazon. I'm sorry. Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
You finally got that big special. You finally got this big showcase, right? and it's your time to be on stage.
Right.
Is your energy going to be down?
It depends. Sometimes you can get too, you know, too anxious, have anxiety, and it can work against you. You never know what you're going to do on that day. That's the thing. You just got to be ready, and hopefully all the training you did and the muscle memory will allow you to have a good game or a good show. Because mm-hmm. you've done it so many times. It's muscle memory after a while.
Right, right,
so
right.
So you don't know. You're hoping everything is aligned right.
Right. Because you can get over-emotional too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You can get a call, you know, in the middle of the day that could, you know, from an ex or something.
Oh, man. You had to bring that up.
and it could be just ruin the rest of your day, your energy, kill your energy. So that's why on days where you have, I think, shows are very something important, a game, you got to isolate yourself.
Mm.
And isolate yourself and keep, I don't even answer the phone sometimes if I have a very important show.
No? Really? Okay. Therapy works for me.
Oh, yeah.
Therapy. Therapy is the cure for everything.
Yes.
To be honest with you.
Same here.
Yeah.
Cigars and some tequila therapy.
Yeah, that's really good therapy. Yeah, in other ways too, that I can't mention. That's how I got these shoes on my. I got a story to tell you how I got a pair of Louis Vuitton shoes.
I saw the shoes, man. The most expensive shoe I ever bought in my life, and the most uncomfortable shoe I ever wore in my life. Yeah, my toes were throwing gang signs. Right? I'm telling you, my feet after about 30 minutes, my feet was killing
me. It makes you wonder why women buy these expensive shoes.
They look good in them.
Louis Vuittons, the red bottoms.
Yes.
And they say they're so uncomfortable.
They could take more pain than we can.
Well, that's obvious. They have babies.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think we can have a baby.
They bear it out. But you see at the end of the night, you know, we had a club at the end of the night and the girl's being mean to you. It's not you. It's her feet. Her feet like, hey, you better get out of here. You know we hurt. You know? And she's like, no, but he good looking. He got, I don't care. Them feet start throwing gang signs. Like, yo, we better get up out of here. Raise up off me. Her feet start set tripping with her. It's the feet. It's not you. So, fellas, don't lose your confidence when a woman is not giving you play at the end of the night. It's her feet.
It's her feet.
If all you do is take over to the couch, ask permission first, and say, can I just rub your feet and talk to you? We get a long way, but ask. Just don't do it.
How often does that work for you, guy?
It's never worked. It's never worked.
Have they actually gotten to the point where they've allowed you to sit down and put their feet in your lap?
Well, sometimes once they take them shoes off, then, you know.
You change your mind.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's Cheetos, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Hey, can you stick around?
Yeah, let me.
I want to stick around because I want to talk to you about Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday. Greatest documentary ever.
A great documentary. It's a phenomenal. I know how long you worked on it. We'll talk a little bit more about your football team, the LA Rams, as well.
That's right.
More with Guy Tori coming up next, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
That's the Ram gang side right there.
Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Now, you told him about how you are the Bill Walsh of audio executives.
Exactly,
you
yeah.
can't screw these up. Your favorite catchphrase from the original Predator. Go ahead. Here's one.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
All right. That's number one. Here's number two.
Okay.
Get to the chopper!
Can't hear them at all.
Okay.
You can't hear them. So what I'm going to do, I'm doing this blindfolded.
Mike,
wait a minute.
No,
did Bill Walsh not have the volume up? The Bill Walsh of sound engineers not have the volume up for the segment?
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Kill it. This is not bode well.
I don't want to cause can feedback.
You go, oh. There's a method to his madness. Do you want to try one more time now?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, man. Here
we
go.
We can kill it.
Okay, if it bleeds, you
if it
can
bleeds,
kill
we
it.
Can kill it.
Okay, here's the next one.
This is the chopper.
Yo, we can bring it in.
Chopper. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here's the other one.
One ugly mother.
Okay, there's that one.
Okay.
Start bench cut.
All right, get to the chopper. Gets cut because it's only an incidental line, and the only reason we remember it is because he's Austrian. If anybody else said, get to the choppers, it wouldn't have been a line. It wouldn't have been a line. It's only because he's Austrian. Cut. It's superfluous. We're going to bench your one ugly MF-er. So what you're going to do is you're going to start, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Because it's a succinct line, and it's done in a very naturalistic way.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Very well done.
That's mm-hmm. just...
Now, for everybody else who comes in here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're going to show
I'm
them...
I'm setting the bar
you know,
here.
We're going to show them this start bench cut, because you have raised the bar, Keegan.
Setting
Michael
the bar
King.
Right here.
We're going to edit out Del Tufo messing up the audio. We're going to edit that out.
Can you edit that,
out?
Edit
that out?
No, it's
too good.
Perfect.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Mike Hill filling in for Rich Eisen today. The radio side can't hear what they're doing on the TV side. They had Keegan Michael Key.
Yeah. Man,
he's
talented.
Funny talking about, was it bench? What was the segment?
Well, we put start bench cut.
Start bench cut, yeah, right? Yeah. And Del Tufo, who's not here today, Jason's in today, did not have the sound up. He's, he's supposed
the
to be
the
Bill Walsh of.
The best part about that was is Mike was bragging about how he was Bill Walsh and he has this right. audio tree of everyone that he's taught that's gone on to their careers, and then he didn't have the sound up.
Did Del Tufo teach you, Jace?
Yeah, he taught me. I mean, I give him credit. But
okay.
He also made an excuse in that clip that was just so wrong. Nothing to do with it.
Hanging out with comedian Guy Tour. We're going to talk about Fat Tuesdays in a moment. Jim Jackson is going to join us in just a second. Jim is his son graduating from kindergarten today.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Dope.
Yeah. So, happy father. That's my.
Failed kindergarten. I couldn't color.
You couldn't color.
Stay inside the lines. So.
Maybe that was, what was that? Maybe you were colorblind.
No, I just couldn't color. I stayed outside the lines. It's like my career. I'm always outside the lines.
There is no box when it comes
There's
to
you. No box.
There is no box, man. No box. Yeah, you stay in the glove. Hey, you was talking about Gary Payton earlier.
Well, yeah.
You saw him, and you said, you asked him a question.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, two goats talking last night, you mm-hmm. know, a Hall of Famer and a Capricorn. and he was just asking, you know, man, Tony Rock and I was asking him questions like, yo, who was the hardest, like, to guard in in your career? And he said, John Stockton.
Wow, yeah.
Thinking,
wow.
Of course.
Magic, or no, not Magic. Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. He said John Stockton. He said John Stockton was smart.
Yeah.
A smart player and would, like, light you up and, it like, a silent assassin.
See, this goes to my point, right? This goes to my point.
What's your point?
John Stockton, should be a top five point guard of all time. All-time assist leader. Never won the championship, but he just played the game.
Yeah, he played some go-go shorts.
I was making the point earlier. Nikola Jokic will be a top five center of all time. But when you name the top five centers of all time 30 years from now, you won't remember his name.
You don't think so?
Because
I think if he wins.
No, if he wins four or five championships, maybe. But if he wins this one championship or doesn't win a championship at all, despite how great he's been, because he's just not dynamic.
Right.
I don't think just like Tim Duncan.
Right.
The greatest power forward of all time.
And both built terrible. They both built like a refrigerator box. It's just like, there's no definition in the arms.
None.
You know, Duncan's hairline was always jacked, like yours, was always jacked up. Jokic's nose was always red, like he's like Rudolph, the red-nosed center. Just built terrible, but dynamic. I think he will be in the conversation 30 years from now.
He's incredible, man. I just think he should be. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
He should be. And
right.
And when people say, what about Jokic? Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, yeah, he's definitely top five.
Right.
That's the way they'll remember Nikola Jokic.
Right.
Because he's just not that dynamic.
Should have been MVP.
Yeah. You think so? Over Joel Embiid this year?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, three-time MVP. Yeah. Who's still playing? Expert.
Huh? Who's still playing?
But, you know, it's a regular season award.
Who's still playing?
Well, that's true, but it's still a regular season
award.
And
Embiid is a beast. Don't get it twisted.
I love Embiid had a great season. Defense matters, though.
Yeah.
The Rams didn't, you know, they when it came to defense.
We going there?
No, I'm just saying. I thought that was
a nice
segue.
All we need is Aaron Donald.
Yeah, that's all you need is Aaron Donald.
What about your Giants?
We made the playoffs last year.
Okay.
What'd the Rams do?
Don't worry about it. We had more current championship.
Huh?
More current championship.
Current?
Current. 2019, 2020. Yeah.
We talking about current. That's what we're doing now?
Yeah.
That's what I used to always get into. We used to always get into an argument with Red Sox fans. Oh, who won in the, who's won in the 2000s? I'm like, 27 championships, bro. I mean, are you serious when it comes to Yankees in the road? Come on, man. We ain't doing that. We're not doing that. Let's bring in my guy.
Okay.
My other guy.
Okay.
A good friend of mine, Jim Jackson, Fox Sports NBA analyst, TNT NBA analyst, does a great job. What's up, Jim?
What's happening, fellas? What's going on?
Got Tori. Yeah.
What up?
So congratulations, by the way. I don't know if we can tell people, but congratulations. I just want to give you that congratulations on the air.
What happened? I got married or something?
Well, we know that's not happening. I gotta tell you, Jim, like, so earlier today, about an hour ago, there was this guy trying to deliver flowers. Not flowers, but flowers and some balloons. And it said, congratulations.
Right.
And it was knocking on the door. And I was like, well, they got the wrong people. We're knocking on the door. And TJ went. And TJ, what happened when you went to the door?
Yeah, he's looking at his phone. He's like, I got a delivery for a Mike Hill? And we were like, what?
And the balloons say, congratulations, and there's some flowers. I'm like, man, I ain't getting nobody pregnant. I'm like, what's going on? I didn't know if that was an announcement or something. Like, that's the way you're going to tell me?
Right.
I can't afford
I'm
that.
I'm happy.
Who showed that in?
I can't afford that, man.
Thanks a lot. Now, my son, he graduated from preschool to kindergarten. And
nice.
For those of everybody who's had kids and been through it, it's like, man, you see your son, you get emotional, you watch it. He's grown so much, 5 years, about to be 5 years old, and going to kindergarten. And over here at Children's Palace, they did a great job of, you know, accepting him and treating him like he was one of theirs. He's learned so much and grown so much. So it was just one of those days, man, as a parent, emotional, but a special day.
Almost five?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was born on Father's Day in 2018.
Wow.
So, coming up next week.
He's probably taller than me, too, huh?
hey, guy, I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
He really is. He is. Zavi, right? Zavi? He really is growing. He looks really good. He's a good-looking kid, man. Good-looking kid, man. So, congratulations.
I'm not saying anything.
Did you cry?
So I didn't cry. But there was some couple times when they were singing some songs and
got choked up,
and the teachers were talking, and they came up and kind of walked on stage and kind of get their picture taken with a sign, some of that you know indicated their graduation. It was emotional, man.
That's awesome.
All right, man. Let's talk some basketball. What are we seeing right now? Okay. When we look at Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, 10 years from now, what are we going to be saying about this performance?
Well, it depends, you know, for them, their legacy is etched in. Of course, they're going to be remembered as some outstanding basketball players, and maybe Jokic goes down as one of the best to ever play the game. But, of course, winning the championship solidifies that even more because, you know, you're in rare air when you do that. You know, it's interesting the transition that both have made, you know, from when they first entered the league, when you look at Jokic, who was a little bit overweight, not as athletic, of course. Yusuf Nurkic was there in Denver. Denver had to make a choice, you know, for Nikola or Nurkic and what they did. And you look back at his transformation. As he's always been skillful, but him dedicating himself to losing the weight, you know, COVID and keeping it off, I think it's paid huge dividends for a couple of things. One, his endurance is a lot better. His strength is a lot better. He's able to finish games, you know, with a fresher mindset and body because of that. And the skill set that he has, is ridiculous. And I hate that people want to compare Joel Embiid and him and then take away and criticize the other to justify, mm-hmm. you know, their argument as to why one is better. I don't think you should do that. They're both individually skilled, and they're both really effective at what they do. But Nikola, just what he's able to do, how he's able to control the game from the center position, just totally affect how defensively you're able to not defend the width of the court. He's special. And I would say this about Jamal Murray.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot to learn as a basketball player. Okay.
How so?
Maturity, basketball, IQ, okay. just understanding the game and how to play the game from a point guard position, because he was a scorer by nature, and understanding what it means to run
mm-hmm.
an offense, a team. But mm-hmm. I think what helped him really, I think what really, and it's, you hate to see this, the injury, I think matured him a lot. And I say that is because he was able to sit and watch and understand what the game was all about from a deeper context. And how and what he needed to do as a player to improve, you know, from the leadership perspective. And now you see, you know, the fruit of that knowledge paying off big time at the biggest moment right now in the championship stage.
Yeah, they're two games away from their first NBA championship. The Miami Heat down 2-1. They seem to play better, though. And I know you covered the Eastern Conference Finals for TNT when they yeah. were the Heat and the Boston Celtics. So you see the resolve that they have. Obviously, they went up 3-0 in that series and then 0-3. But they seem to play better when their backs are against the wall. So what do you expect tonight?
I mean, the Heat are going – look, the Heat figure out ways to win, okay, just like Denver. Now, you got to give Denver a lot of credit. They're one of the best teams in the Western Conference. This team has been together. You add Bruce Brown and then KCP. That solidifies what they do. This Heat team, keep in mind that during the course of the year, they may have been top two teams that had lost games to injury. They didn't shoot the ball well. So they've been through so much through the course of the year that their resilience is the reason why they're always able to, after a loss, to come back. Now, keep in mind, I think it was the last three games. They lost the last three games at home.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, they
figure out ways to come back and win games. It's not always going to be pretty. They don't have to shoot the three ball well, because they're going to grind you out. They're going to make you work. They're going to force you to have to play the shot clock. They're going to force you to have to play a physical brand of basketball, physical in the terms of what today's game is. And Eric Spoelstra, to me, probably behind Pop, probably the best coach in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to see Eric when I was with the Heat. He was our film guy. And what I think what makes Eric special, just like a lot of coaches that come through this way, he was in the film room breaking down tape, so he got to see the game from a different perspective. He got to talk to different players and get their likes and dislikes, and how to communicate with players. He talked to coaches. He talked to scouts. Mickey Erickson, the owner. So he got this full knowledge of not just the X's and O's, but how to communicate with players, how to communicate with other coaches, how to communicate with media, how to communicate with the ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And then you groom all that, put all that together. What he's been able to think about this early in his career, talking about, well, is he the right guy for the Heat? And look at where he's at right now. So the response to me is going to be one of they're going to play harder, play smarter. They have to do a better job of pick and roll defense. I can see them trapping a little bit more, but also taking away the points in the paint. The two games that Denver has won, they've won the points in the paint. So it's going to be interesting to see the strategic moves that they make, Miami Heat make tonight.
Yeah, it seems like the Heat are missing a lot of bunnies, too, in the paint. We know that Denver's a taller team, so they could have the advantage in the paint when it comes to rebounding. But,
exactly.
Bam is missing a lot of bunnies. Jimmy's missing a lot of bunnies. Jimmy doesn't seem to be himself. I know he's still obviously the leader of the team, but maybe there's expectations because we expect playoff Jimmy, and even though he's scoring and at times he had a good first half the other night, we're not seeing playoff Jimmy. We're used to seeing like we saw against Milwaukee.
Well, but it's a difference. You give Denver a lot of credit because they have positional size, meaning that even with switches, Jimmy doesn't have the advantage. even against a Jamal Murray, Jamal's still 6'4". You see what I'm saying? It's different than, you know, maybe a different kind of switch. So give the Denver Nuggets a lot of credit. One, we didn't talk about them, how good they can be defensively, but they've influenced the way that Miami attacks the basket because of that size. But Jimmy is going to be Jimmy. You got to understand something. Jimmy Butler is not a high-volume shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's going to pick and choose his spots. He wants to set his teammates up, get them involved, and when it's time for him to do his thing, that's when he'll do it. So he's patient in his delivery of offense. He's not going to force the situation. He's not going to force shots if he's not going. But I can see Jimmy being, I think, more aggressive game, and I think in the third quarter, fourth quarter, he'll come around and he'll figure out ways along with the coaching staff to kind of get his money on when he needs to.
Yeah, talking to Gary Payton last night, Tony Rock and I, and we asked him about this series, and Tony brought up the fact, and Gary Payton said yes, that this team is crappy, you know, and that's what Gary Payton said about this Miami Heat team, and he said it reminded him of the Miami Heat team that he was on when he won the championship, how scrappy they were back then. And so it was like, it was, the comparison was kind of like, was blew my mind, actually.
Yeah, you know, but it's, I mean, the difference with that team, you had still star power. Now, maybe Gary Payton wasn't the Gary Payton of old, but he had that DNA, that all-star DNA in him, that at any given time to turn the pages back and contribute. So the makeup of that team that they had back then when they won it is a lot different, but the ingredients on how hard you play, the attention to detail, being professional, all of that, those intangibles were there. With this Miami Heat team, you have, and you know, the story's been told about the undrafted players trying to figure out how to make the roster, but they bought into playing their role, which is very, very important. And if you think about it, it's Bam Adebayo, superstar, but and Kyle Lowry again, all-star, but not the same player, but yet has the pedigree. But look at the roster and how it's built. And who have a lot to prove, who were kind of counted out in situations as far as making an impact in the NBA, even making a roster, but yet and still these pieces fit together. And by fitting together, they know their and understand their roles and responsibilities, gotten them to a championship. What would be interesting, guys, is if other teams take that blueprint and try to emulate that.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. Win or lose, if Miami, you know, in this championship round, it'd be interesting to see if other teams do that.
Yeah, and remember, Miami's playing without Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo in this. The fact that they got here as an eighth seed and they are a game away from tying the series up after four says a lot about everything that you talked about, starting with Eric Spoelstra and that whole organization.
In-game adjustments are great, too.
Yeah, best.
I mean, well, both coaches, man. I tell you, Michael Malone has to get a lot of credit because they lost some games in the playoffs or some series. And, you know, he talks about, is Michael Malone the right person for this team? Well, yeah, he is.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to go through the fire
and
you lose in order to get there. You know what I mean? Michael Jordan, the Detroit Pistons, they lost in playoff series before they were finally able to cut down the net.
Right.
Yeah, Jim, as you know, there ain't that many good coaches out there. So if you fire them, who you going to get? That's the thing. It ain't that many great coaches out there, man.
Well, yeah. You know, you get rid of them. Okay, so who you bringing in?
Yeah.
I'm happy for both because I love to see, and God, you brought up a great point, that both make these in-game adjustments. Okay, little tweaks. Okay, when Nikola Jokic is out the game, okay, we're going to play zone a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to double-team Jamal Murray. When Jokic comes back in, we'll switch it back up. We'll try to hold on as long as we can, but Jokic is so good in the middle of the court that he'll break you down. So, you know, both coaches, I love the in-game, but also the preparation part of it, and holding their star players and the rest of their players accountable.
Yep.
That I think that's the key as well.
That's what makes a great coach. Jim Jackson, great analyst, better man. Great father as well, man. Thanks for hanging out with me as always, my friend. I know you got a golf course and a cigar in your future somewhere.
it's a little dreary today. I played yesterday. It's a little dreary today. But you know the cigars will definitely be there, especially tonight for the game.
Yes, always on point, man. I'll catch up with you soon, man. Congratulations again to your son.
I appreciate you. God, great talking to you, brother.
Likewise, bro. Safe,
man. All right, Jim Jackson hanging out. I love Jim, man. That's my
good
guy.
Dude, man.
Jim's like, I work with him obviously over at Fox Sports all the time, man. Just like a cool dude, man. I've been introduced to a lot of good people through Jim Jackson.
Yeah. I was in Philly one time doing a show. I went to a cigar lounge and I'm walking in and somebody said, "Guy." And I'm like, it's Jim Jackson.
Yeah.
And that's smoking a cigar.
Both of you guys in the cigar lounge all the time. Yeah. Asthma. Can't do it, bro.
Oh, yeah. You don't know what you're missing. Stinky clothes.
What I'm missing. Death. That's what I'm missing. I like to breathe. I don't know if you know that or not. I like to breathe. We're going to be back to wrap up the show right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Stick around.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? You're going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Is it true that you met Lorne Michaels as a vendor at Yankee Stadium, the SNL founder?
Yep.
Is that true?
Gate four. And I was a kid. And my friends told me, That's Lorne Michaels. He came out at the player's gate. And I overcharged him for like three bats and some Yankee shirts. And then when I became a cast member, I gave him back like $14 and some cents. And he said, "What's this for?" I said, "Because I overcharged you for some items." He started laughing. He started dying.
This is when you said game four, like what, the 96 World Series? Is that what that was, Tracy? What do you think?
Let me see when were you? It was a Derek Jeter. No, Mattingly. I think Mattingly was playing.
Okay, so that was probably like 95 or something like that. Okay, so so what were you doing out there? You were selling stuff. So you were
scalping tickets. I scalped tickets. I sold souvenirs and I sold cocaine. And that's when it was $21 a gram. I'm getting 45 regardless of how it go down for me.
So this is true.
Sorry, because I live right up the hill. So I had tickets, I had cocaine, and I had souvenirs.
You had it all. That's what you're saying. Back in the day.
$20, $21 a gram.
And so you sold hats and bats and stuff like that. And that's how you met. Isn't that
coke.
Amazing?
Don't forget the coke.
You got something in there, Tracy?
Tracy really was Hustle Man from Martin back in the day.
Man. I really was.
He really was Hustle Man.
I worked souvenirs, and I was Tony Montana on the side.
Mike in for Rich here on the Rich Eisen Show. Some of the funniest things happened, like the clips you guys show from the old TV.
Funny, man.
It was showing Tracy Morgan, man. Oh, hilarious. Man. Mike, we got Tori hanging out with me. Brockman, Jason, TJ, first class TJ over there.
He's still a little hurt over there.
You know, yeah, he's still hurt. His feelings are hurt, man. I'm sorry, man. Yo, get that upgrade, bro.
I'm addicted to first class. You
know? I had an upgrade once.
I get upgraded all the time.
Yep.
I had some horror upgrade stories, though. It was, I almost took out Russell Westbrook. Like, it would have been no more Russell Westbrook. I was flying back to L.A. from Miami, and Russell Westbrook was on my flight along with Amber Rose. And our plane breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got to go back to the terminal, and they rebook us on a flight 4 hours later, and I lost my upgrade.
So you had to go to coach.
I'm from first class in a middle seat in coach. Middle seat. And in that 4 hours, I bump into my ex-wife and her new husband in the airport.
Oh.
For the first time. And our new husband, she married up. Because he was 6'5". She married up. And so now I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. We're all going back to L.A. I'm now in coach in the middle seat. They're doing very well, so I know they're in first class. And I'm like, if I got to walk past them in first to go to coach, I'm taking this plane down. No more Amber Road. We are all going down today.
We almost had a situation.
And I found out that they're on a different flight.
Ooh.
And I was like, Lord, won't he do it? My ego couldn't have taken that.
I don't think you could walk past
my ex-wife and her new husband.
And first class.
In first class to go to coach in the middle seat.
He probably would have given you a little snicker. Like,
man, what? Yo.
Hey, speaking of planes, how about the Jets? Hey, you see those everybody's talking about the Jets in the AFC this year because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, man.
Aaron Rodgers came out today. I think we got some new sound from Aaron Rodgers talking about spent all those seasons in Green Bay. He'd been in New York a hot second, and this is what he's saying already.
Hmm. Yeah, I think it was good. I had originally planned on being back on the West Coast for at least a week to get with my bodywork people and my trainers, but when I hurt my calf, it was best that I was just here the entire time rehabbing and then just being around the guys. So made for a lot of opportunities for some get-togethers in the city, and obviously, Taylor Swift concert, and we had some good team dinners and a lot of hangout times. So that was good. The last 6 weeks have been about the most fun I've had in a while, so it's fun to come to work and be excited about what we're doing. We got a great quarterback room to be able to work with Todd Downing and Rob and Hacks in there all the time, and we get some other randoms come in and sit in the room, which is nice too. But to work with Zach and Tim and Chris has been a lot of fun.
Most fun he's had in a while.
Wow.
And they got a great quarterback room because he's now in the quarterback room.
Right.
Quarterback room wasn't that great before him.
No. They was grounded. Now they're back flying high.
Now they're flying. A lot of expectations on this Jets team this year, man.
Yeah, if they don't win and win early, he's going to be the host of Jeopardy.
I'm concerned about Aaron Rodgers. Only because, I was born in New York, and I know New York's all my teams, a New York Giants fan, Yankees, Knicks. I know it takes a certain mentality to play in New York.
Yeah, you're right.
And not just because of the fans, but because of the media.
The fans, though.
The fans are tough.
Let me tell you, I went to a draft and the Radio City Music Hall years ago, and the Jet crew was there, right? Mm-hmm. And this little kid... And his dad was there. Kid had to be maybe 10, 11 years old with a Browns jersey on. When I tell you those grown butt men heckled this little boy.
A little boy.
Man, he was crying. I'm like, Jet fans are brutal man. Brutal. This is a 10-year-old kid. But his dad couldn't do anything. It was just him. He was way outnumbered. Took his son and left.
That's when you know you're about to get your beat. You're just like, hey, man, just go ahead and take this L. Yeah. Talk smack on
Jet
Twitter
fans
afterwards
are,
or whatever.
Are brutal, bro.
They are brutal. But they can, as quickly... As fast as they love Aaron Rodgers right now,
right,
quickly to turn around.
Oh yeah,
they will flip the switch on him in a heartbeat. He can go from
don't let them go 2-4.
Out the gate 2-4, and it might not even be his fault.
Man,
they will turn and see the thing. And the problem is he's not used to that. And we know Aaron Rodgers, how he's kind of surly,
right?
Tossed back. Doesn't like too much the media.
Right.
Only toss to what's my man's name over at ESPN now.
Pat McAfee.
Yeah. Basically, that's his boy. You know what I mean? So
Sleeveless.
Nothing against Pat. Just put the guns out. But at the same time, like when the media wants to turn on you,
ooh,
as great I love Michael Strahan's my guy.
Ooh,
love him to death. You see Michael Strahan smiling on GMA.
Right.
I covered Michael when he was with the Giants when I was working in New York.
Right.
Michael wasn't like that.
No. Surly.
Yeah. Surly. Yeah.
No.
Patrick Ewing wasn't like that.
Right.
I've seen the media.
Right.
I've heard the media in New York talking about wait until you see my column tomorrow.
Mm.
I've heard them say that.
Mm.
Wait till you see my, I'm going to kill them. I mean, that's how they are, bro. So if Rodgers, Aaron can't adapt to that,
He got has thick skin.
Gonna have some issues, man.
Put your big boy pants on.
You better put your big boy
thing
pants
is,
on.
Thing is, though, Mike, we still don't know who's on Hard Knocks, and everyone's like, gotta be the Jets.
Gotta be the Jets. Man, yeah. Robert Sala is talking about he doesn't want to be on there real quick. Hey, I got it. We're only on, out of time. Fat Tuesdays.
Fat Tuesday documentary is out on Amazon Prime. It's doing well. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It made 100%? 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It made the best documentary of 2002 on the New York Times list. So it's great. It's funny. It's great. You laugh. It educates you, inspire you, enlighten you. And it's just a wonderful piece of work.
Yeah, it's great.
It is great. You saw it, TJ?
Oh, yeah. I've watched it twice, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
It's about the black comedy scene here in L.A. in the 90s, the riots
the
and everything that was going on.
Best damn comedy night, period.
Yeah, it was good. Hey, man, I'm proud of you, too, because thank I remember you. I've been knowing you for a long time. When I first got here 10 years ago, you were working on it then.
Grind. I've been on this show before when I was talking about what I was working on. And to finally see it come out and do well is amazing.
That's great, man. I'm happy for you and everything that you're doing.
Thank you, man. All the
projects that you got going on. We're actually working on something, too.
Yeah.
You know, behind the scenes, too. Okay. We'll see what happens right there. Might be able to help you out, TJ. Might be able to help you out.
Just put you in first class.
We're going to put you in first class. We're going to upgrade you, TJ.
Upgrade your air, because the air coach is bad.
Yeah. You're going to be able to get some warm nuts. In the bowl. In a hot towel. It's important.
A towel, though.
Thank you to Joe Varda, The Athletic, TJ Newman, the author, Jim Jackson for coming on, and, of course, the great guy, Tori, and I want to thank you guys.
Thank you, brother Mike.
Great job, Mike. Yeah.
Jason,
awesome.
Thank you, TJ. I appreciate you, man.
That went fast.
Thank you, Rich, for allowing me to be on the show. Hopefully, I haven't said anything that's going to be so crazy that I won't be able to come back for another 4 years. But enjoy your weekend, everybody. It's the Rich Eisen Show. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Conspiracy theories, paranormal, UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.